Hello, and welcome back to the My First Marathon podcast, where we interview runners of all stages in their running career about their first marathon experiences to prove that anyone can run a marathon. My name is Taylor, and today we interview a runner whose first marathon training is fresh on his mind after running the Jersey City Marathon in April of this year. We dove into how he originally got involved with running to lose weight and how along the way he really found a passion for it. He's the true couch to marathon story, so if you can relate to that, this episode's going to be great for you. Without further ado, let's go ahead and jump right in. Please welcome Brandy. Brandy, thank you so much for coming on the podcast this weekend. It's great to meet you. How's your weekend going so far?
It's going pretty good. You know, today is normally a day where I do be doing my long runs. I'm in the middle of training starting now for my second go of a marathon. But I wanted to obviously take the opportunity to talk to you. Today was also a day the sun is out over my shoulder, as you can see. We've had a little bit of not so great weather recently around here. So I'm glad to take the opportunity to do some things that are outside that are not running or physically active related, but I'm happy to do it. And can I just say from a selfish standpoint that I'm very glad to be with you today. I appreciate you taking the opportunity to talk with people about their passion, how they got involved and things like that. So I think this is really great listen and really great watch for people who are into running, who know nothing about running, but are trying to get into it, who are kind of curious as well. I'm really glad you're doing this.
Yeah, thank you so much. Yeah, that's exactly the goal is, you know, if we can get one more person to run or run a marathon, then my job here is done, you know?
Absolutely.
But great. Yeah, happy to have you. And I think we've got a cool episode today because you are currently training for your second marathon. So we'll break down, you know, where your first marathon ended up and talk about kind of what's changed since then.
Sure, of course.
But before we get there, I'm curious how you got involved in this crazy world in the first place.
You know, running was one of those things I was really never really into. As a kid, I grew up in New York City, in Brooklyn particularly. I live here in North Jersey, so I'm just right across the Hudson River, so I'm very close to the city, but I'm far away enough from it that I'm outside of the craziness that is being in the city all the time. But, you know, as a kid, you know, I always, you know, just ran around like a normal kid. You know, to me, at least in my head, I was always fast. Or at least I told myself that. I never really formally ran. I played other sports when I was a kid. I played baseball. I bowled. In the city, we played handball, or we call it, people call it wall ball in other parts of the country. But my only exposure to running was really when I was doing practices for baseball, obviously running around the bases, things like that, and playing handball as well. I played for my high school's team. Handball is very big in New York City. There's literally thousands of courts scattered throughout the city. So there's leagues and there's tournaments and things like that. So my only exposure to running was obviously being active and playing those games. During training, we often ran on the track. I couldn't barely run a full lap. So you were not able to get a full quarter mile out of me on the track, especially during those times.
Yeah.
So that was pretty much my exposure to it. I went to college in upstate New York. In Albany at the College of St. Rose. And even then, you know, again, you know, I was active in intramurals and played other things, but never really into running as well. That was many years ago. And then later in my 20s, at about 26, 27 years old, I was kind of going through a tough point in my life personally, as well as a little bit of kind of struggling professionally as well. You're only a few years out of college. You know, I'm fortunate to be in the career that I'm grateful to be doing to this day. But, you know, when you're new to a business, to a line of work, you know, you kind of go through growing pains as time goes on. So you're pretty green to a lot of things. So there's a lot of things to, you know, you learn along the way. And it's a lot of life lessons learned as well. So at that point in time, it was about 2011, 2012, a few years after I graduated from college, I said I was going through a rough time. You know, I wasn't eating great. I was definitely partying a little more than I intended to or really wanted to, especially during those times, especially going through a hard time.
Sure.
And I think the draw for me, the final straw for me to get me into going running, being physically more active, I was starting to gain a little weight. I felt sluggish. I felt slow. You know, I work in TV news. So And at that point in time, I was working the overnight hours, the early morning hours. My first job, I was getting up at 2 or 3 in the morning. So my day would be over at 10, 11 o'clock in the morning. And then I would, especially in those days, I would basically have lunch. I would fall asleep, take a nap for a couple hours and wake up again, go to bed later on in the night and rinse and repeat. So it was just a continuous cycle of not holding healthy habits to mm-hmm. myself. So that was something that I really had a struggle taking a command of. So I got to a point where, you know, at one point at my heaviest, I was well over 200 pounds. I think it was like 215, 217. And I was like, wow, this is really oof, not feeling it. And you kind of feel it. You know, you feel it obviously when you gain weight, you're not fitting to the clothes that you used to fit into properly. So that was something that was obviously noticeable, at least to me. So I decided on my own, like, you know what, I need to start doing something. So I joined a small little gym, local gym in upstate New York in Albany. I was paying like $10 or $20 a month just to get in. You know, I know obviously it's a standard gym, you know, with equipment, the treadmill, the bikes, the ellipticals, spin bikes. You know, I knew how some things work, but otherwise other things I had no idea. I mean, like a treadmill, I can manage, you know, I can, you know, put in my earbuds into my iPhone back then and start, you know, running and going. I didn't have a slightest idea about proper running attire, like running shoes. You know, mm-hmm. I my first pair of running shoes was a pair of Skechers. I can't remember the name of the model particularly, but
yeah,
it was like a light blue and like a little bit of gray. I mean, for running, it worked. I mean, I wasn't running marathons obviously at that point in time, but you know, I just kind of, you know, something a little athletic, just something to get me going. So I remember I just started walking fast on the treadmill just to kind of get my legs feeling, to get the blood flowing in my legs, that kind of a thing. So so I started doing that, and I was slow. I was out of breath. I didn't know about, you know, maintaining my breath in terms of, you know, controlling your breathing, things like that. Cadence, I was kind of all over the place, kind of what you would expect for someone who's inexperienced. So those are so the first couple of weeks, the first month or two was obviously very sluggish, but you know, I felt motivated enough in, you know, not being happy with how I was feeling about myself personally at that point in time, as well as physically at that point in time, to do something about it. So I began to start sticking around in that, in terms of like, hey, I'm starting to get a little more comfortable on the treadmill, running a little quicker. I think fast for me at that point in time is like five to five and a half miles an hour on the treadmill, which is about 10-minute pace, give or take, if I remember. And so I started to feeling a little more comfortable. I started to feel, hey, I'm running a little faster pace, but I'm not losing my breath as quickly, at least. So I'm like, hey, you know what? My body's starting to, hey, this is not so bad after all. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So those are the origins of my day of running. So, but after a couple months of doing it, I started to run as weather got nicer in upstate New York. I started to run outside around the neighborhood where I lived, near my school at the time. I started running around the neighborhood, running around the block. I had an iPhone 4 or 5 at the time, whatever, was pretty big back then. And I downloaded the Map My Run app for the iPhone. I'm like, you know what? I want to start keeping track. At that point in time, I had no intention of running a race, preparing for anything a little more on the comprehensive side of training. So I had that, and the other one was Couch to 5K. That was another app. I think that app might still be around today, or some kind of variation of that. So I started using that, where it was basically, you know what, in a matter of 4 to 6 weeks, we'll start you here. Basically, it'd be about do a minute of running, a minute of walking, a minute of running, just to kind of get into the rhythm and the repetition of moving your legs and, you know, moving your butt around. So I started doing that around the same time, you know, like a few months after I started running for real, for lack of better words, inside the gym. So I kind of started, again, with the same pair of Skechers. I didn't have anything else. I wore a pair of like track pants and a cotton t-shirt. And if you run like me now, cotton t-shirts are comfortable for any time of the year, but not so much for running at all. Especially when you start sweating, or if the weather is bad, it kind of sticks to you. The t-shirt gets heavy, as you can probably relate to.
Yep.
It's something that, you know, I'm like, you know, I worked with what I had at the time. At that point in time, you know, I was making very little money in my first job out of college, just like everybody else. So, you know, it wasn't something to me that was a big priority to me, but I wanted to get out there and kind of, you know, see how I'm feeling. But at that point in time, I've been running, you know, for about 3, 4, 5, 6 months. And something that I surprised myself in that I was not quitting. I was not, you know, beating myself up. You know, I might have been running very slow around the neighborhood, you know, running, you know, progressing to 2 miles, progressing to 5K distance, 3.1. And, you know, at that point in time, I was encouraged by somebody I used to work with at the local TV station I worked with in Albany. Like, hey, why don't you sign up for a 5K, you know, in town? You know, 5Ks are done everywhere around the country, every weekend throughout the year. You know, they're held by, you know, obviously races or smaller distance races are usually organized by people in the community where they're raising money for a cause or charity or something like that, which is always really cool to me.
Yeah.
So I was like, you know what? Okay, sure. So I signed up for this particular race along the Hudson River in upstate New York. It's a trail park, but it was all flat. That was my understanding of it. I'm like, okay, cool. So I started training for it, and the weather was getting warmer. The race was in the summer of 2013. So I started training more aggressively in the spring in the lead up to it. And even though I had done the distance before, and at that point I was starting to do push 4 and 5 miles, 8K. And I was like, wow, obviously with no pressure, just playing music in my ears. I was like, you know, this isn't really so bad. So, but, you know, going through the training, but in the weeks and the days leading up to my first 5K race, I was like, wow, I'm really going to do this. So the nerves are getting to you, even though I've done the distance and then some to this point in time. So I was kind of like, you know, wow, I really need to, I really got a lot of butterflies in my stomach here. So I was very nervous doing my first 5K race. So the race day came. Eventually, I felt like a year at that point in time.
Sure.
It was a very small race. I can't remember. It was named after somebody. It was like a scholarship thing for a relative whose parent passed away many, many years ago. So like, okay, cool. It's like $25-$30 to get in. So I paid it. I did it that day. It was like a Sunday morning in June of 2013. And I expected to be a lot more people there. It was a nice sunny day. It was very warm. It was probably like in the 70s. Great, beautiful day for running. No humidity at all. And then the race was like, wow, there are some people who were scattered around the area, but there weren't as many people as I thought there would be.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm like, okay, where is everybody? And people were like, oh, well, this is basically it. It may have been no more than 70 or 75 people running the race.
Yeah.
So the race course, I started at a certain point in the park. You do a mile and a half up and do the loop, a mile and a half, you know, back. And that was it. So I ran that day in the same pair of Skechers, which have since long been retired, thankfully. And I ran the race. You know, and one thing I was not aware of is that when you're running with a group of people, when I ran leading up to the race by myself, you know, you're kind of doing your own thing. You know,
yeah.
I never ran with anybody. I did not know that there was such thing as a mob mentality. When you're running in a pack of runners, you're going at the same pace with them, intentionally or unintentionally, depending on what your strategy is for that race. So I remember I ran that day, and I was running faster than I have ever compared to my training leading up to that. So I did the mile and a half up, the mile and a half back. Thankfully, it was flat. It was a nice day. I had my sunglasses on, my earbuds. I was good to go. And I finished that race. My first 5K ended up being like 27 minutes and change.
Oh, wow. That's pretty good.
For the first time, I finished and I was like, this is not bad, right?
Yeah,
I was like, yeah, that was pretty good. The pace was like 9-something, whatever it came out to be that day.
Yeah.
And I was like, and I finished and I'm like, big load off. And then, so that was the origin of my running. You know, I had no intention of, to kind of tidy this up here, I had no intention of getting into racing. To me, getting into running was more of a priority for my health, for my mental health, for my physical health. Those were really more of the big things for me, let alone racing and competing with other people.
Absolutely. Yeah, that's great. So kind of you took the true couch to 5K path that I think
literally,
a lot of us talk about.
Did. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. That's great. If you remember, like, was there a point that you remember it turning for you? So where it was just, you know, I'm running for my health, I'm running to get more in shape and kind of better myself too. No, I actually like running. Do you remember if there was a specific moment where that kind of came up for you?
leading up to that race or just generally speaking?
Yeah, just generally. What, like, when did running kind of click into place, I guess?
You know, I remember there was one day I was running when I was training for the 5K, I ran the same literally route every single time. I ran from the front of my apartment. I did a turn, went down a road for like a mile, then another turn, looped back around. I did the same thing over and over and over repetitively, for better or for worse. And I remember there was one point where I was coming up to a red light on a city street up in Albany, and I got to the light. I'm like, oh, I gotta stop. Obviously there were cars coming from in the opposite direction.
Yeah.
And then I saw there was a cop car waiting at the light, and then all of a sudden I heard the cop through the speaker on top of the car. I was like, hey, you can go ahead and run. So the guy actually held up traffic so I can actually cross the street and continue my run. So there's really a sense of like, oh, okay, that's pretty cool. Is this normal that people actually do this kind of thing? So I that was the first time I guess I felt a sense of a community, even though that wasn't really a running moment for anybody else but me. But I think the first time I kind of got into like, hey, this is actually not that bad was one of the might have been actually one of the times I started running again after that first 5K race. Mm. And I realized that, you know what, as long as I stay on top of control of my breathing, the rest will kind of fall into place. I may not be the fastest person in the world. I'm trying to figure out how to figure out my strides, my steps per minute, that kind of stuff. But, you know, this is long before the time we were talking about, you know, being in zone two and, you know, stuff like that. So
sure.
My goal at the time was just to stay in control, one foot in front of the other, and not pant the entire way. And I remember on one of those first few runs after the 5K race, I did about 4 or 5 miles. Again, I'm running with my good buddy Chris on a Friday. Typically, what him and I used to do was, you know, we both worked during the week, a typical Monday to Friday. And then, you know, we went out as a normal 24, 25 year old. Like, hey, what are we doing Friday night? Well, where are we going? Where are we going to hang out? And what we did at that point in time is we went for a run in the afternoon. We both worked kind of pretty odd hours. We both, you know, worked early morning, overnight. We both work our day, go home, nap during the afternoon on a Friday, particularly, and kind of kick off the weekend afterwards. So then we would get together, go for a run, talk about a weekend plan. And before you know it, we're suddenly running 4 or 5 miles, not even really thinking about it. We're just kind of talking. And the key thing here is we're running, but we're also able to maintain a conversation while we're going up and down, you know, wherever we were running at that point in time. So at that point in time, over a decade ago, when it started finally clicking for me, like, you know what? It's really not as bad as I'm making it seem to be in my own head.
Yeah. Yeah. There's definitely that point for all of us where we're like, oh, okay, running is not the worst thing in the world. Let's keep going down this path. Well, cool. So, and then how did we progress from there? So you ran the 5K, you were starting to kind of run on the weekends or be consistent with your friend running 4 or 5 miles. And what, did you have any goals in mind from, you know, post that first 5Ks that you ran?
If I try to remember correctly, I didn't at that point in time, at least. I just wanted to, like, you know what, I survived. I got through it. You know, all the mental games I was playing with myself kind of was up and over, and I got through it. So I did this first race in June, and then in September, a few months later, there was another 5K race that came along a few miles away in another town nearby. So I asked my friend Chris, who I'm talking about here, like, hey, do you want to run it with me? So he's like, okay, cool, fine. So we both signed up for it. It was like a nice September day. People were back at school. The weather was a little cooler. It might have been like in the 60s or 70s at that point in time in September, in upstate New York, which is pretty warm for upstate standards, at least for that time of year. So we signed up. We did it again, a 5K race. Definitely a lot more people this time. So it was my first time being exposed to a much larger crowd. We're talking about maybe 300 or 400 people, which is a big jump from the 50 to 60 from the first race. I'm like, okay. Yeah. So I felt a little intimidating before, at least at that point in time. And then I saw people, you know, who are younger than me, who are older than me, from all walks of life, they're all doing the same thing. So this particular 5K was also pretty flat. It was also in a park. There was no looping around. It was just basically just a big, you know, tilt the whirl of a route. So we finished the race. I can't remember how I did. I remember it was also about 27 or 28. I might've been like 30 or 40 seconds slower than the first race, but I remember running the race. It was also a sunny day that day, thankfully. We got through it, and then we went to breakfast right afterwards, and that was kind of it. So at that point in time, I had a couple under my belt, and I was starting to feel a little more confident with the running, and I was also noticing that I was starting to lose weight, which was, you know, the original reason why I got into this in the first place. And at that point, I was dropping weight, you know, relatively quickly. At that point in time, so I ran the race in June, the second race was in September. I think at that point in time, after September, I might have dropped like 10 or 15 pounds relatively quickly. You know, at least I thought it was quickly.
Sure.
So that was it. And then, you know, I ran one more 5K before I moved out of the area. This third 5K was back in the original park where I ran the first one. It was basically the same thing again, with a slightly faster time. And then a few months later, I got offered a job here in New York, and then, you know, that was, and here we are now for the most part in terms of where I am physically today.
Sure. Yeah, great. So had a couple 5Ks under your belt, and like you said, you're starting to kind of build confidence the more races you're involved in.
Yeah.
So when did the inspiration strike you to start signing up for half marathons, or was there like a 10K or something like that in between?
There was a 10K. When I moved here, it took me a bit of time to start running again in New Jersey. Getting used to a new area again, I wanted to be close to home. So I moved, I got a job here. I was thankful for that. I've been here ever since. And I eventually started picking up, running again. And then, I signed up for a 5K just to get one under my belt, not far away, over in Rutherford, New Jersey, not far from the Meadowlands, MetLife Stadium, obviously the home of the Giants and the Jets. Mm-hmm. So I signed up, I did it. It was a little hilly. Most parts of New Jersey, at least in North Jersey, are relatively hilly. I've heard in many places there it's speed work in disguise. It's one of those things you're not realizing that you're really doing it until you're actually, in the middle of it.
Yeah.
So, I got one under my belt at that point in time. I was running about the same pace, which is pretty good. I've done literally probably a few dozen 5Ks, and fortunately all of my 5Ks have all been under 30 minutes.
That's great.
Up to this point in time.
Yeah.
Now that I have many years under my belt of doing them. So the first 10K I did was actually on a destination vacation. I went to New Orleans as a birthday gift with my girlfriend at the time, now wife. We went to New Orleans. My birthday's in March, so this was about the time. It was after Mardi Gras. It was like right around Easter time, if I remember correctly. Mm-hmm. And so we went to New Orleans. We had a great time. At that point in time, I don't believe I knew there was a 10K going on that weekend. I think I saw like a pamphlet that showed me some information of what was going on that weekend. I'm like, oh, there's a 10K going on in the city. I'm like, okay, cool. Why don't I do it? And I've never done one before. Never.
Yeah.
So I signed up on a whim. And that was my first time being part of a really large race. We're talking about 10,000 people running plus. And this was also my first time going to a running convention. You know, we picked up the bib and you can check out all the shops and all that kind of stuff if for anyone listening who's new to running. So I sign up, I go to the convention where I picked up my bib. You know, you take the nice obligatory photo in front of the cool signage around you in the city. So that was on a Saturday. Oh, sorry, the convention was on a Friday, and then the race was on a Saturday. The 10K started in front of the Superdome, in New Orleans, the big stadium there, home of the Saints.
Yeah.
And the 10K was running around New Orleans, the French Quarter, running around the Mississippi River, Jackson Square, kind of going through all the New Orleans city landmarks. And then the race finishes in City Park, which is New Orleans' biggest park, if I remember.
Sure.
So I did it, not having ever done it, and then never done the distance in a race before. I've done the distance just running by myself or with my good friend Chris. And I got through the race. I think my time was about 57 or 58 minutes.
Yeah.
Which is not bad, which is pretty on par with my 5K time. So it might have been a slight negative split. If I remember correctly, going into that, finishing it. And the cool part about that race was, in very New Orleans fashion, the race was like about 8:30 in the morning. We were done 9:30, 10 o'clock. You cross the finish line, they hand you a cup of jambalaya and they give you a pint of beer on your way.
Oh, no way.
And you're like, all right, this is how 10K should always be done. So,
yeah, right.
So that was my first ever longer distance race. I remember my biggest concern was, okay, let me have the lung capacity to get through this. I wasn't sure if I was going to be able to navigate 6 miles, let alone with so many people around me. Mm-hmm. And it was my first time running a race, well, obviously with so many people, but also, when you're running with a lot of people in a race, it was the first time where it's kind of a slow start. You know, it takes a while for the packs of runners to kind of break up and, you know, people get into their own pace of the race. So it took me a little bit to get into rhythm. And my biggest concern, and I kept telling myself, as long as I stay in control of my breathing, I can navigate through and do my best. So I was fortunate enough to make it through. And then, you know, we had a good time in the park afterwards. We had, you know, obviously there was beer and there was food and the whole other thing. And at that point in time, Uber was very brand new to the city of New Orleans. So we Ubered back to where the hotel was, and then we continued on with the trip. So that was a really great time. And then I ran another 5K closer to home here in Jersey a few months later. That was my first time running on a much hillier race. There were portions where it was a pretty steep incline, and then I had to do that decline on the way back. That particular race, I think, was called the Fort Lee 10K. I don't know if they still do that race anymore. But compared to my first time doing it, I actually PR'd in that race. I did it in about 55 and change, which is not bad at all. So
no, not at all. Yeah.
So at that point in time, I ran. I continued to do 5Ks, you know, in between, you know, during the season and when I was able to physically run. In this particular area, there aren't as many 10Ks to do for whatever reason. People prefer 5Ks, and then obviously the halves and the fulls. The idea for my first half marathon came much later on. Jersey City is a very big city right across the Hudson from Manhattan. And they started putting on their own half marathon races many years ago, and it was basically a giant tour of the city. You start off like in the city center downtown on Washington Boulevard, which is kind of the main drag in Jersey City, and then you're literally doing a loop around the park through the city, and then you do a loop around Liberty State Park, and for those people who are familiar with Liberty State Park, that's how you can get to the Statue of Liberty. You can take the ferry over. You get a beautiful view of the city. You can get a beautiful view of the Statue of Liberty if you're familiar with the area. So I signed up for it. It was called the Newport Liberty Half Marathon. This particular race I've done a couple times, and the first time I did it, I was training. At this point in time, I had been using the Map My Run at the point in time, but I wanted to try something different. So this is my first time using the Nike Running Club app, which I still use, and it's my Bible of running to this day. And the best part about it is free. It's free coaching. You can play whatever music you want, and you know it works wonders. So I did the training on the app. You can pick a training program, 5K, 10K. You want to do your own version of a couch to 5K, that's totally fine. You can do a half marathon training. You can do the full half. You can do the full marathon training. So I started my training program, and this took about 2.5. It was about 10 to 12 weeks, and I got through it. That was my first time ever running 8-9 miles plus.
Sure.
And my longest run leading up to that first time ever doing the half marathon was 12 miles. At that point, I was living in another town in an apartment complex, and I basically ran from there 6 miles all the way downtown to Hoboken, right near the city, and then I ran all the way back up eventually. So that was my first go around of doing such a big distance. So the day came, I can't remember what pair of shoes I was running at the time, but believe me, at that point in time, the Skechers were long retired.
They were gone.
I upgraded. I can't remember what I had at that point in time, but. I got through it, and I finished that race literally at 1:59:50, if I remember. So I got it under.
Got the sub two.
Got the sub two the first time around.
That's great. So ran your first half marathon, and you said that training wise, the plan that you were following was all through the Nike Run Club app.
Yeah, you know, it was pretty straightforward. Someone recommended to me, somebody I was working with at the time, and I checked it out. Kind of playing around with how it works. You know, it obviously tracks all your runs. I also have an Apple Watch to help me keep track of you know, my day-to-day stuff. Mm-hmm. So I checked it out. I picked the half program. And the way it works is that it's X number of weeks. I think the half marathon one, I think it's like 14 to 16 weeks. I can't remember. It gives you 5 runs a week to do. It says if you need to modify, you can modify. But as long as you do at least 3 per week to kind of keep you on track, then it allows you to you know, keep tabs of what you're doing and kind of go from there. So I, yeah. You know, but it was my first time having this humongous structured, disciplined programming for running, where it's not just, okay, let's just run for as long as I can and for as fast as I can. I mean, even though I've done races to that point in time, you know, I was still relatively new in terms of how to run properly. I've never done like hill work before. I didn't know what a fartlek was, you know, things like that. Never wasn't really doing hills. You know, obviously, if you're going just for casual run on any given day, for the most part, people are probably ignoring hills. You're probably trying to run on the flattest ground.
Yeah.
You can find. So that was my first time. But at the same time, you know, with the app, you'll be able to listen to whatever music you want. But you're also getting this free coaching from these actual running coaches from around the world who are in your ear telling you how this is going to work. Talk about pacing, timing, things like that. So that was my first foray into the really structured running program. So I've been using the Nike app for 7-8 years now at this point in time.
Yeah.
So and the best part, it's free. I mean there are some things you can pay for if you want, and that's totally fine, but you know, but for me it works, it gets the job done, and I'm still using it today.
Yeah, that's what I was going to ask, is if it's still something you use. So obviously, fast forwarding through a couple other half marathons and things like that to when you started training for a marathon, I'm assuming you plugged in Marathon Day into Nike Training App and kind of jumped into it. Maybe fill in the details there.
Yeah. Excuse me. I'm trying to remember how I first got started with the marathon program. I always had envisioned doing a marathon at some point. I remember as a kid, I grew up in Brooklyn, and at that point in time, we're talking about when I'm 7, 8, 9 years old, I lived along the path of the New York City Marathon. This is along, if you're familiar with the race course, this is about 4 or 5 miles into the race. This is 4th Avenue, part in Brooklyn.
Okay.
And it's the longest stretch of runners being on the same route. I think you're on 4th Avenue for about 5 miles before you go on with the rest of this race into the city. And I remember as a kid, putting my hand out, getting high fives from these people who I know, you know, it's all strangers to me, obviously. Yeah, but seeing that sense of community and seeing how fired up everybody was. Everyone's having a great time. People were holding signs. People were playing music. It was such a party atmosphere on a chilly Sunday morning in November. And I'm like, wow, this is pretty cool. So, at that point in time, you know, when I first started running, you know, mainly for health reasons, I, at that point in time, had no intention of ever running a marathon, even despite having that really cool experience when I was younger. And I kind of got into it, you know, later on. I started playing around with the Nike app again after I did my first several halves, and I kind of, you know, I was always one of those people who always had, I always had great ambition, but what something I've always struggled with is having that drive to follow through with that ambition to kind of accomplish what I'm looking to do. So I kind of sucked it up, for lack of a better word. You know, I'm sure there's a better word I can use, adjective I can use to describe that, but. I a couple years ago, 2 years ago, started running, and I I'm trying to draw a flashback here. I started the Jersey City Marathon races in April each year. The race coming up in April of 2025 will actually be the third one they're doing. Jersey City itself used to host marathons once upon a time. Like, we're talking about the 70s and 80s. And at that point in time, they stopped doing it for a reason I couldn't tell you. But a couple of years ago, long story short, they've resumed races in that area. And I was familiar with that area because that's the same area where I've done the half marathons before. So I wanted to sign up for a race with an area that I was comfortable running in. I knew the lay of the land. I knew that it's relatively flat. I know the area of how to run around Liberty State Park. So I kind of picked it up from there. So I decided, in September of 2023, I ran the Jersey City Half Marathon. Again, totally fine. I've done the race 4 times. And the fastest race I ran of the 4 times, funny enough, was the first time I ever ran it, the 159.
Yeah.
The other times I finished like a 205, 210. the slowest race I ever had at that on that course was the second time I ran the race after my first time. I ran it at 2:27. I was almost half hour slower for whatever reason. I remember how disappointed I was. The weather was fine that day from what I remember, but I was just very, I was beating myself up over it. And yeah. I wasn't happy. So I kind of took that motivation to kind of get me back into gear. And I kind of started picking it up again. So then when I found out later on that Jersey City is now hosting a marathon again, I'm like, okay. So I looked up where it was exactly and when it takes place in the spring, typically around Easter time. It's held the second weekend of April. At least at this point it has been. Mm-hmm. So I decided right before Christmas or around Thanksgiving last year in 2023 that I wanted to, hey, you know, if I haven't done it yet, what am I ever going to do? Run the marathon, you know?
Yeah.
So I sucked it up. I put my money where my mouth is. Not literally, but I signed up for the race. and I signed up probably a couple weeks before Christmas, around Thanksgiving of last year. So I started training literally the week before Christmas. It's a tough time to start. Very tough time, especially yeah. during the holidays. I always tell my family that December is generally no diet December. You know, the time between Thanksgiving and New Year's Eve is always a free-for-all in terms
of... Yeah, it's no rules.
There's no rules. Everyone's out and about, having a good time. They're eating. They're over-drinking. They're overeating. There's a whole lot of stuff going on, understandably. And I had very, very little exposure to running in the colder weather. So... fast forward to the full marathon training. Thankfully, those first couple of weeks of training was very methodical. The first race was like 15 minutes this one day. Second day, the third day was maybe like 25 minutes. So it was a very, very, very slow buildup.
Yeah.
The whole thing was 18 weeks.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. So I timed it out perfectly so that the 18th week was race week.
Yeah.
And we started before Christmas. It was my first time being exposed for a long distance to the cold air. I've always enjoyed and got accustomed to running in warmer weather. Mm-hmm. Humidity, as much as it sucks for running, doesn't bother me. And it's because I've learned over time to stay in control of my breathing. That's the big thing. Once you're in control, the rest kind of falls into place, like I've said before. So the first couple times I ran in the cold weather, my lungs were very beat up, for lack of better words. It was so cold. I had a hard time catching my breath. I invested in the gear. I was wearing like running tights with shorts. I was well prepared for that, for the elements.
Yeah. Yeah.
But the physical running was something that took me over a month to get used to getting used to running in the cold, seeing my breath. So it took a while. There were a couple times where I literally took my breath away in terms of, hey, this is really cold. I really need to, you know, slow down. So I needed to learn how to figure out how to stay in control of that, as well as maintaining, hey, I got work I got to do. So yeah. After a couple of weeks, it's after the holidays. Now we're in January. I'm starting to get used to it. And the Northeast here, we haven't had snow. I mean, we've had some snow here in the last couple of years, but we haven't had like big, big snow in years.
Yeah.
So thankfully, there weren't many disruptions to my running schedule. There might have been one or two days where I had to like hold back a day or two because there was an inch or two on the ground, so I needed to let that obviously melt away.
Yeah.
Before I picked it up, so this is easily the most disciplined I ever was when it came to running. It took me a long time to get to this point, so we got through it, and when you get to about the halfway point, 9-10 weeks, you're doing the 13 miles as part of the training. So when I got to the second half of training, it was my first time ever going beyond the half marathon. I had never done 14, 15 miles plus before. So that was an experience in itself. At that point in time, a couple of years ago, I was training with, when I did my last half marathon last year, I was using a pair of Hoka Cliftons. I think the sevens at that point in time.
Uh-huh.
And I beat those shoes up. Those shoes have now been demoted, relegated to backyard work.
Like sure.
The soles, yeah. I've done hundreds of miles of them. Worth the investment. Got my money's worth. Those shoes are now basically retired. So when I started training for the full marathon, I was training in a pair of Brooks, the Glycerin, the Model 20, a pair of green shoes. I love them. So I trained in those the entire way. And then about a month or so before the actual race, earlier this year, I wanted to invest and get a decent pair of shoes to get me to the finish. Because at that point in time, I had done over 300 miles in the Brooks, which is great. I'm getting the work done, but typically the rule of thumb is 300 to 400 miles. You're kind of pushing near the end of the cycle of a pair of shoes. Even though the shoes are fine, they still work now. I still use them periodically for the gym and for, you know, light runs here and there. So I still have them. So I went to the Roadrunner Sports, which is a very popular sports running store in the tri-state area here. So I went and I picked up a pair of Saucony. I was familiar with them, but not familiar with the actual shoes themselves. So, you know, you do the whole shoe fitting, you kind of figure out what pair works. And little did I know prior to me picking up these shoes, I did not know, and I swear to you to this moment in time, there is an entire subculture when it comes to running shoes. It is a huge thing. Carbon plates, nylon, no idea what any of that was prior to that. I'm like what? Like, you know, it was a foreign language to me. It's a whole thing. You know what I mean?
There's a lot to it, yeah.
Yeah, and I remember when I ran my first half marathon years ago, but the first big lesson I learned from there is, you know what? I should be wearing shoes that are bigger than my actual shoe size. Yeah, because obviously, you know, your shoes are a lot bigger. They need to be, because obviously the front of your foot is constantly hitting the front of the shoe, as people know. So, and that's a lesson you learn the hard way from, you know, hey, my toes are kind of bothering me because I'm from all the abuse of hitting the front of the shoe. So that's what I learned right away from the first time around doing a long distance race. So I picked up a pair of, I invested in two pairs of shoes. I got two pairs of Sauconys. I got the, it came out, it was brand new at that point in time. I got the Endorphin 4 that came out over the winter, I think like February or March. And which had like a nylon plating, but you really feel that cushion on the back of the heels. People who are familiar with those types of shoes can relate to. So I got a pair of those, and I got my first time ever getting a pair of actual race day shoes. So I got the Pro 4, and at that point in time, my longest run was like 16, 18 miles. So a month before the race, I ran the longest distance I've ever run in my life. I ran 20 miles, 32K. But I ran that in the Endorphin. I ran in the speed shoes to get used to it. So getting to that distance is a feat in itself, and it's one of those things where you don't really believe that you really did it until after it's done. And when you get to that point in time, from my experience, I don't know about you, but it's all about you're basically playing a mental game.
Absolutely.
Right? Because granted, you're tired, the weather can wear you down depending on how it is that day, but you're really, really playing a game with yourself of, hey, can I really do this? How can I get to the finish line? You know, am I really going to do this distance? You know, so those kind of the experience with those shoes and kind of getting used to that kind of format of running.
Yeah. Cool. So a little bit of trial and error on the shoe front,
but kind of
had all the pieces you need. And that 20-mile run, I feel like that's a lot of times the first time people feel like, wow, I could actually do this thing. I'm getting pretty close. Did you kind of have that feeling after the 20-mile run of, you know, wow, I'm really close to this thing?
Yeah, I think you can probably attest to this also. But I remember I did it. When I was training, I was also that was also my first time. I also wore, for those long runs, I wore those hydration backpacks with the big thing in the back. Because obviously you need to fuel. That was my first time learning about fuel. That's a whole other science in itself. Refueling.
For sure.
Learning to run, running with gels, the whole thing. So that was, you know, that was a science in itself. Again, a lot of trial and error as well. So, you know, it took me a while to get used to that. And I learned over time what works best for me, besides obviously fueling before the start of the race ahead of time. What works for me is every 40 minutes or about four or five miles, depending on how I'm doing that day, to refuel the entire way. So I remember I got through the 20 miles the first time I did it. I did it in, I don't remember how long it was. It was definitely a while. And I got it done, and my legs were the most tired they've ever been But I just remember the feeling of satisfaction, you know, like, wow, actually, I got it done. You know, yeah. I, at that point, I had done 15, 16, 18 miles, but gained to 20. And, it, you know, it's a big milestone in itself, let alone gained to 26. But, you know, but it's interesting to me, and it still is, I don't know about you, that a lot of times during training programs, you know, particularly with the marathon, you don't run the full distance ahead of the race.
Right. Yeah.
Now, why is that? What's the logical reason behind that?
You know, I think I've heard a couple of different things, but I think the big one is you want to save your legs for race day. I've heard some people tell me, you know, especially because I've brought up like on my own social media about running multiple 20 mile runs or running the 22 mile run, or, you know, different options that you have kind of at the end of training. But I think a lot of people will just say it's unnecessary strain on your body to get to 26 before race day. And if anything over 20 is just helping out your mental, if you need a little bit of you know, a trial and error or a test run to get closer to 26 for your head. But yeah, a lot of what I've heard is just it's a lot of strain on your body unless you're running a sub-3-hour marathon, you know. It's a long time to be out there putting miles on your body when you could save your legs for race day. So, but yeah, that's what I've heard.
No, and it makes sense, you know. So I ran. So that day, I remember running the 20 miles. At the point, it's March. It's very close to my birthday, a month before the race.
Yeah.
And I got through it. I was like, okay, well, I got it done. And I remember how physically exhausting that was. And in my head, I'm like, well, okay, how am I going to do another 10K on top of that to get to the finish?
Yeah.
So we get towards the end, and I'm feeling okay about it, but that week leading to the race where at that point you're running maybe 2 or 3 miles, 20 minutes, 30 minutes. And then, you know, that's basically it. Typically when I run a long distance race, if the race is on a Sunday, for example, I stop running on Wednesday. You know, I mean, yeah. I might go to the gym on Thursday, do a couple of little lightweights and that's about it. And that's another thing about marathon training. It's not just running and the proper fueling and nutrition along the way. You gotta make sure you're doing other stuff. So, you know, I go to my local gym nearby. You know, I'm not an expert in how to use a lot of the things in the gym, but just to kind of do other work, back work, things that aren't so necessarily leg related. So I was able to do a bit of that. Leading up to the race, you know, I was confident, but I was also nervous as well. And so the race was on a Sunday. That Friday before, we went to. My wife and I and some family members, we went to an Italian restaurant. We did the classic carb loading session before dinner, 2 days before. So we did that on a Friday, and then Saturday afternoon, we went down to Jersey City to get ready for the race. Also, actually, the day before, we went down to Jersey City to go to the racing convention, where, you know, pick up the bib and do the whole thing and check out the items that you can buy, socks, yeah, you know, accessories, other, you know, things you can do. So I did that. Then I had the entire dinner that night. And then on Saturday, we came down like late in the afternoon. We checked in the hotel, grabbed a bite to eat along the Hudson, and kind of just wrapped it up from there. I went to bed probably like around 9 o'clock, 9:30. My alarm went off. The race started at 7 a.m. For everybody. No matter what your pace was, mm-hmm, my alarm went off at 3:15 on Sunday morning. And yeah, if you're familiar with long distance running, the question is, why are you getting up so early for a long distance race? You got 4 hours for the start. What's going on there? So
yeah,
the reality is you need time to physically wake up. Number one, you know, it sounds kind of counterintuitive, but I always shower before a run for a long distance race. Just kind of just relax.
Yeah,
obviously going to shower again later, and who cares, but just to kind of relax, kind of, you know, get your mind off things. You want to make sure that you eat something properly. You carb up. You obviously want to make sure you digest, use the bathroom, do what you got to do, and get ready, get all your gear ready to go. That morning was relatively cool. It was about 50 degrees, but
that's perfect.
It was nice. The sun rose around 6 something, so it was still a little dark by the time I left the hotel and got to the start line to get ready. I had my gels ready to go. I had all my gear ready to go. The run back, the hydration vest, backpack. It was like me and like 8,000 of my closest friends to the start. And I knew that the weather was going to be great that day. You know, I did my homework ahead of time. And
yeah,
by the time the race was over, it was like almost 70 degrees. So the weather was really good that day. So the race starts. It was a sunny day. I knew my goal you know, I had a time in mind, not having done the distance before, but what I really wanted to do was run the second half faster than the first half, have a negative split, which is the official term for that. So the race course was very similar to the half marathon, but because it's a full marathon, you go further into Jersey City and you go through some local neighborhoods, and then you eventually you loop back around and come back out. So I start the race and I'm feeling okay. I'm running in the carbon plate shoes. I'm in the Pro Force, the Saucony Pro 4. We start running and it's fine. I'm feeling okay. I get to the halfway mark. So basically the race is typically a lot of races are, particularly for long distance. It's a combination of marathon and half marathon runners. Mm-hmm. So basically everybody's doing the same 13 miles. So, but when you get to that point in time at the halfway point for the marathon, people who are doing the half marathon, they're veering off to the right to kind of wrap it up. Whereas for me, I'm doing a second lap of the whole thing in reverse. So you notice very quickly at the 13 mile mark, the race filtering out very quickly.
Yeah.
Because most people are doing the half marathon, which is great, by the way. Anybody who's doing it. So, I got to the halfway point. At that point, I was about 2 hours and I want to say like 2:15, 2:20. Which is slower for me for a full 13 miles, but keep in mind is I'm doing 26, so I didn't want to be sub 2 and not be able to do what I wanted to do.
Yeah.
So I remember at the halfway point, I saw Denise, my wife, and I said hello, I gave her a kiss, and then I kept going, and she took pictures along the way, which I can share, and so I kept going, but at that point. I was feeling okay. I did the half. I got to the halfway point. My breathing was in check. The weather was good. 15, 16 miles in is when things started to kind of like turn in a way.
Yeah.
You know, where, you know, that's when you start feeling that you're running. You know? I mean, you feel that you're running relatively quickly. I remember early on in the race, my left hamstring tightening up slightly about 4 miles in. I'm like, come on, let's go. You know, so I was fine. I powered through that. But at that point, 15, 16 miles in, you know, at that threshold, you know, you start feeling it more physically. It takes more of an effort to maintain an effort, you know?
Yeah.
So that was really, I mean, I don't know about your experience, but at that point in time, you know, at that point, it really starts becoming a mental game. You know, like my legs felt okay, but it's like, okay, can I do this? Can I get through it? You know, I remember I'm making one stop. They have, of course, you know, as you went through the course, they have like porta potties of, you know, the station throughout the whole thing, water and Gatorade station scattered throughout the entire course. So, I stopped once to go to the bathroom, which is fine. It was, I took the opportunity to kind of compose myself and then kind of get back on track and then keep going. But I remember when I got to 20 miles, 32.2K to be exact, as you know, that's when it's like, oh boy, you know, this is what we call the wall, the infamous wall of insert yep. name here.
Here it is.
Yep. Here it is. And you know, obviously I've done the 20 miles once or twice up to that point, but I had never gone beyond that. So at that point, this is uncharted territory. It's the Wild West. And I was starting to feel tired. Naturally, that's, you know, we're all human. It's going to happen no matter who you are, whether it's me or, you know, you're anyone else who runs the Olympics or the New York City Marathon. So I remember having to slow down. I had to, in order to be able to finish the race. I mean, that was really my number one priority, was getting through the distance. So yeah. I remember slowing down, kind of like those last 3 miles were the hardest for me mentally and physically. Physically, my legs were starting to feel very tight. You know, the kind of, you know, you start feeling like lead. These are all common things for anyone who's familiar with the running wall. If you're not, that's what it is for the most part, at least from my experience. But I remember those last couple of miles having to slow down, kind of doing kind of like a slight jog to like a run walk, kind of alternating to kind of get through it mentally. So, you know, at that point in time, we get towards the finish. The finish of the race is basically around the same area where the start is, for the most part. Maybe give or take a couple of blocks.
Sure. It's kind of a loop.
Yeah, basically. Yeah. So, mm-hmm. I remember getting to the finish, and I remember, Denise tried to hand me. I was joking around prior to doing the race, you know, kind of like, you know, when you run the Olympics, they give you like a flag you put over your shoulders.
Sure, yeah.
So she tried to hand me a Puerto Rican flag from my heritage. But I saw her like motioning to me but I didn't want to stop because I felt that if I did in the last 1K, I was going to like not make it.
Yeah, cramp up or something.
So I did not want to do that. So I kept going. I acknowledged her and I waved, I think, but I kept going.
Yeah.
And I got to the end, and then I saw my mom was there, and my stepfather on the final like half mile, whatever it was. And I got to the end, and I got through it. And, you know, I wasn't sure how I was going to feel when I got to the finish. And I got to the end, I crossed the finish line, and it's so hard to describe, at least for me it is, because you spend all this time training, getting, you know, hyping yourself up for the race, and then you kind of, you go through the actual race day motion, and you go through the race itself, and you get to the end. It's like, you know, at that point, I was so mentally and physically exhausted, and I was so caught up. I was easily the most emotional I've ever been running a race. I was literally choked up. I couldn't breathe for a second. You know, I had to take a deep breath a couple times to kind of gather myself. Cause I'm like, oh my God, I actually really did it. The time for that race was 4:45, 4:46.
That's great.
And I remember I was so, to be honest, I actually beat up myself over it for those first couple of days after the race, because I, you know, my intention was to be honestly in the 4:15, 4:30 range, but obviously I was a little slower than that. But and that's in part because of those final, you know, 3-4 miles,
sure,
you know, where it just takes a toll on you. So yeah, I got through it. I was happy that I did it, but I remember it took me a while after the race, in the days and weeks afterwards, to come to terms. Okay. It may not have been the time that I wanted to do what my plan was, but the experience, it should not take away from my experience at all. So it took me a while to come to terms with that. And I'm glad that I did eventually. Unfortunately, it wasn't right away in those first couple of days. But, you know, I remember when I was running through that race on that day, you know, there were people, you know, holding up signs, you know, like punch this flyer to, you know, power up and see all these cool, you know, high-fiving kids along the way. It was such a fun experience, and you know, it took me a while to like I said, to come to terms on how I did that day, but I'm glad that I did, because, you know, it makes the experience to me more memorable. So,
absolutely.
And I'm so glad the weather turned out. So after the race was over, I met up with everybody who was there that day, and then we walked to a few minutes away, we walked to a beer garden where I had the coldest beer of my life after the race.
Best tasting
like we all
ever,
really,
yeah.
Oh my God, yes. And then with the medal around my neck, and I was so glad that I did. And then the next thing for me was to take a little mental break and get ready for the next race after that.
Yeah. Wow. So quite the, I mean, all things considered, I know you said you were maybe a little disappointed in your time for the first little bit, but kind of came to terms with it. But all things considered, it seems like first marathon experience was pretty smooth from training to finish line. Would you say that?
I would say so. Like I said, it took me a while to come to terms with how I did,
sure,
which is totally fine. But I realized a couple of things about my training. Hey, number one, running for 16, 18 weeks is daunting in itself if you think of it that way. But the races are broken up. You know, it was my first full foray into the speed runs, the hills, the fartleks, recovery run, doing the whole thing. And it was also my first time really running in the colder weather in the winter. I've never run in the winter before. Typically, I would run until October, November. I'll take the winter off and then pick it up in the spring, like a lot of people do, which is fine. Nothing wrong with that. But I wanted to really challenge myself to prove that I can actually do it, which I did. The next big thing for me at that point in time, I had signed up prior to the marathon to sign up for the Brooklyn Half Marathon. The Brooklyn Half Marathon is brought on by the New York Roadrunners Club, which is the same organization that puts on the New York City Marathon. So in order to register for that race, it's basically a lottery. You fill out the information and you hope that you get an email saying that, hey, you're in. So eventually I got the email saying, hey, Randy, you're in. Thank you. That marathon was in April 14th, and then I had 5 weeks to get ready for the Brooklyn Half.
Wow.
So the Brooklyn Half Marathon, if for anyone familiar with that, you start off in just outside of Prospect Park in Brooklyn, and you basically do a lap around the park, which is the area where I grew up in the city. You do a lap around the park, which is about 6 miles, and then you go through a stretch, a flat stretch called Ocean Parkway, and that, which is basically the second half of the race. And the race ends on the boardwalk at Coney Island, which is really cool. So, long story short, I took a couple of days off after the run in Jersey City to obviously physically and mentally recover. Yeah. But about a week later, I picked it up again. And, you know, since I already had a lot of muscle memory from running, obviously, the prior months, it didn't take me very long to get ready. So I wore the same pair of Saucony Pro 4s the day of the Brooklyn Half, and I PR'd in the half marathon. I finished that race in 1:56.
Wow, nice.
So I, you know, I'm grateful for that. So then after that, to kind of tidy this up, I signed up eventually, like, hey, I want to do another marathon. You know, I wanted to prove that I can do it again, number one. Number two, prove that I can do a quicker time. But number three, prove that I can run in a more smart, in a smarter way, in that not every run needs to be fast. You know, I think my big takeaway from marathon training, besides learning how to do different types of runs, was being more patient in terms of effort and in terms of pace. Not everyone's going to be fast. And I did a lot of homework in the time after the run in the last couple months, in that, you know what, you know, you hear about it all the time, about 80% of your runs should not be fast at all.
Right,
they should
be
a couple minutes slower than your pace.
So important. Yep.
So that's, you know, so that's the big thing. And then the other 20% should be, you know, more closer to that effort. So ideally that when you're running on actual race day, you're able to ideally fly through all of that. So long story short, I signed up now for my second marathon, which will take place in Atlantic City.
Very cool. And when is that taking place?
That will be in the fall, in October. So this will be about 6 months after my first marathon. So we're making it, we're making a weekend of it, where the race is on a Sunday. We're going to go down Saturday, check in, settle in down there. It's about a 2-hour drive from where I live in this part of Jersey. We'll go to the convention, do the whole thing. Race will be on a Sunday. That'll start about 8 o'clock in the morning. And then the rest of the day will just kind of be relaxed, recover, enjoy the night, and then come back on Monday. So I'm now in the middle of training for that now. And I'm taking the things that I learned from the first marathon training now into the second. And that is the two big things. Number one is run slow intentionally, but with purpose at the same time. And number two, don't obsess about the clock, the time, just go. That's it.
Yeah. So important.
Yeah.
I think that's great. And you kind of just mentioned some advice there, but if you could think about maybe the person who's looking to run their first marathon or thinking about signing up, somebody like that, what advice would you give somebody like that?
A piece of advice I would give somebody is, number one, it's not as daunting as it seems. No matter the distance, whether it's the 5K or the marathon, even take a 5K, for example, the 3.1 miles, break it up. You know, break it up into half miles, break it up into quarter miles if you need to, into individual miles, and then work from there. The big thing with running, period, is number one, breathing, number one.
Yeah.
Number two, not obsessing over time, over your pace, that is, your pacing effort. And number three, don't be so hard on yourself, because this is, you know, we're not professionals for the most part. You know, we do this as a hobby. We do it as a great way to get outside, go outside, get some fresh air, exercise, have a good time, just de-stress from you know, day-to-day life, you know? So I would say you got to have fun. Make sure you're playing good music in your ears. You know, making sure you got the proper pair of running sneakers, making sure they're not beat up. And no matter what distance you're doing, if you're out of breath, you're running too fast. Even if you think you're not running fast enough and you're out of breath, you got to slow it down. Those are the big things for me.
Great. No, I think that's awesome. I think that's some good advice for anybody who's starting to run. And I think even we could probably apply some of that advice to ourselves from time to time on our training runs as well.
Yeah, and I think, and also what you know, using the Nike app, you hear a lot of advice in your ears about how to do pacing, but you also hear stories from the coaches about their own experience about running and how they got to where they are. And they often give advice about pacing and certain mile markers. And then they're always like, you know, this is about running. This is also not about running.
Yeah.
Which I think personifies it perfectly.
Yeah. Yeah. No, I think that's great. All right, cool. Well, I'm excited to see what's coming up next for you with this next marathon block. If anybody wants to follow along with you, where can they find you?
So I'm back on Instagram after a long social media break. My long story short, I had to change an email, so I need to get back in there. So on Instagram, it's under Randy McBoomBoom, RANDYMC Boom and Boom, like BOOM. And also on X, formerly Twitter, under just Randy Hernandez, RANDYHERNANDZ. And that's basically it.
Okay, great. Well, I'll link them in the show notes as well so people can follow you there. But really appreciate you walking through your first marathon experience, and best of luck for you coming up with training.
Thank you. I appreciate that. And like I said, going back to my original point at the beginning of the show, I want to selfishly say thank you for giving people the platform and the opportunity for talking about their passion and how they get to it and how they get to where they are. And hopefully you keep it up. Appreciate it.
Absolutely. I appreciate that. Thank you so much.
Right, thanks, Taylor.
Thank you so much for tuning into another episode. If you're enjoying My First Marathon, it would mean the world to me if you could rate and review the show. And if you or someone you know has ran a marathon and would like to share your story, I have a guest form to fill out in my bio on Instagram. That username is @myfirstmarathonpod. See you on the next one.